السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is the Screaming Reels program once again. And this morning, inshallah, we're going to be joined by Ali Al-Mangni in the studio. As he is walking in already. And we'll be in your company between now and 9 p.m. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana Sajjati Mawlan, to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners. Lovely weather today, mashallah.
It is, actually.
Yes.
It's like a bright morning.
So it's one of those fishing weekends, looks like.
You think so?
Yeah. A lot of guys are talking about going out this weekend. I suppose after talking about the yellows, you know, everybody is quite excited about doing a little bit of a spot of river fishing. But the big problem around the country, even now when I was on the way, I was listening on the news, for example, is the lack of water. Definitely. And rain. We need to really seriously, you know, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us as far as that is concerned. It's not just because we're fishermen and we want water.
Last time I was speaking to some youngsters, and we said the same thing, that initially it might for us just seem that for the fishing part of it. But then when you really look at the situation, I don't know if you recall about 4 or 5 years ago, there was that the waters were very low in Letsibokhoria. And then I mentioned how when we got there, then we saw so many animals that actually died on the side of the water and things like that. So I was telling these youngsters that, you know, initially it might just be a case of the fishing is either very good because the waters are low, or now we really need rain for the fishing to improve. But when you really look at it, it becomes a serious problem.
No, definitely. And the problem is affecting the entire southern hemisphere, southern Africa, you know. I believe in Zimbabwe as well, drought is quite bad. So we must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, to increase the rains. This morning they mentioned on the radio that we can expect, the adequate kind of rainfall in the Natal area only in March, you know. And they do foresee quite a bit of issues relating to the holiday season and people coming down for holiday to Durban. They've already put restrictions and have asked people not to waste water. So, yeah, it's something that we all should be serious about.
So, do they still have the restriction in those areas?
Yes, apparently it is still, they're encouraging people.
I actually heard from a few guys that it did rain there quite well, so I actually thought perhaps now it's over.
Well, I just heard that on the radio this morning, so, you know, it depends. Maybe certain areas might have got
perhaps
rain, yeah. But like we always say, in terms of the drainage of water, and you've got to understand how water works. You might have rain in one area, and it might fill up dams in another area, because obviously the water then gets carried via the river systems, etc.
Well, no, yesterday there was an interesting interview on radio. Perhaps maybe in the future, maybe by next week, Saturday, we could get somebody that has more expertise on this year. Last night I was speaking to Uncle Arunangame of the pet shop, and he was telling me about some bacteria that because of the Vaal Dam, because of the waters being so low, there's two bacteria that are created, and because of the waters being so low and there's not enough circulation and things like that. So then I thought to myself, it'd be something interesting if we get somebody that actually has more expertise on this year. On the water levels and when it starts becoming serious, when it starts becoming dangerous, and you know, because apparently the Vaal Dam is only about 50% full. And that's like really low for the Vaal Dam.
Definitely, yeah.
It's like
and
very,
the
very
whole
low.
Of Gauteng depends on that water.
Exactly. So, and then a few weeks back when I was in Doha, there's like now over a month now already, this guy said to me about Rhinoceros. So I was saying to the guy that I know last year was the last I've been there. So I said to him that the waters are very low there already. So he said, you've seen it last season. He said, if you see it this season, you won't even know it's the same dam. It's so low, the waters. Then there was another dam in the week. Somebody spoke to me and said, that dam is like really gone to 2% water only.
Sure.
There's like puddles all over the shore.
That's bad.
So it is. It's definitely scary. And we really need to make dua that Allah, Rabbul Azza, grants us rain urgently, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Let's go for a quick nasheed break, inshallah. When we come back, we can pass those numbers on to Osama. We listen to one short, beautiful nasheed very quickly. And thereafter, inshallah, we'll cross over to some of the
one about fishing?
I hope there's a fish in Sunday. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. It is the Screaming Reels program. Yeah, I'm gone fishing already today.
I can see. I know what you're fishing for. But
nothing. That's the problem.
You're catching fish.
I'm catching fish, yeah. Yeah, it is one of those weekends where you would actually... Osama is laughing at me.
I think he's laughing because that Nazam has something to do with fishing.
No. Oh. Nothing. Zero. It is one of those weekends where you actually look forward to it. It seems like it's going to be cooler than other weekends as well.
Yes.
Those last few weekends, it's been like really hot outside.
Mm.
You go to the dam there, especially if you're going to go on a boat. You know, from shore, you still got your gazebo and you got your umbrellas and things like that. But if you're going to go on a boat, you're really, really, really going to suckle.
Definitely, yeah.
And you know, you're really going to feel that heat a hell of a lot.
This, I think what's very important, and we have discussed it already before, is to take precautions when you are out on the water, especially, you know, when it's this hot. Keep yourself well hydrated. Make sure that you don't wait till you are thirsty to drink, and then don't drink in huge gulps. You know, small sips. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our deen is so beautiful because, you know, the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us to drink. Mm. And then you must also consider the fact that...
That quenches your thirst, actually.
It actually does. We have this misconception. In fact, we can cause more damage to our bodies by gulping the water down. And, you know, the amount of pressure the water creates in your belly. And then you need to, you know, run to the toilets faster. Because it's not being absorbed by the body the way that it should. With smaller sips, you have the right quantity entering your body. The absorption of the water takes, you know, it does it. So keep a water bottle handy and make sure that you have adequate liquids. Yes, we just waiting for Brother Luqman.
Oh, okay. Luqman is on the line with us. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
السلام عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته عظيم ولنا
الحمد لله يا سيد لقمان
الله شكرا السلام عليكم تعالى انتو على السنة جزا
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته لقمان you sound very very happy today
الحمد لله
but you got off from the shop this weekend
no I wish
لقمان before we actually talk fishing itself myself and Adil were just talking about the current water situation
جي
Perhaps from your side, maybe you can just shed a bit more light on that. You know, we said that one is, of course, your fishing gets affected, or perhaps initially it might be very good once your waters get low, but thereafter, I mean, then there's lack of oxygen in the waters. But besides that, and it starts going beyond that. The animals, I mean, around that area start suffering, the people around that area. How much of an impact does this actually have, and what sort of... impact it has on the people, the fish, the animals, all of that around that areas?
See, like I said, it has a major, big impact on the whole ecosystem, the whole environment, everything around it. You can just see at our own homes, you know, just with our in the grass, how much drier it is, the plants start wilting very quickly. So everything takes, you know, the heat and obviously lack of rain. And only now, when we don't have rain, we appreciate what rain can do. And, you know, normally after rain, you see everything is full of life, and now everything just seems to be dead. As far as the dam levels are concerned, most dams have dropped considerably. You know, it's one, two things there is, because of the heat, evaporation that takes place is a hell of a lot more.
Hmm.
And then secondly, most dams are used for either water supply or irrigation purposes. And with the heat, you know, farmers need to irrigate their crops. And that's why the dams are dropping at such fast and quick rate. I think Vaal Dam is probably sitting in a 50% there around now, which is already very low. As far as fishing is concerned, it has a benefit where... Your fish are, so to say, more concentrated because now there's less amount of water. It's probably easier to find them and catch them now when the waters are low. But one disadvantage is generally when water drops, water starts getting murky, especially when there's lots of carp in the water. You know, when they spawn, they obviously disturb the bottom. And what happens is then the water becomes muddy and quite stained. In dams, it's got consistent river flows, even though it's low, which you find it's still quite clean. The precautions like we as fishermen have to take is, like you said, mud around the dam. As the water is receding, especially people who tend to get bogged down now in their vehicles, you just got to be careful not to go too close to the water's edge and, you know, check your surroundings first, check what the mud is like, whether it's thick, whether it's that black clay type mud. So before you even start fishing, you know, make sure the area you're fishing is safe. And the other thing to look out for now this time of the year is make sure you're well dressed. You know, nowadays you get a lot of your fishing shirts and they've got UPF 50 stuff bulk into the fabric. It's a new technology almost they're using.
Mm.
Even your sun hats have got that. Try and cover up as much as you can. Drink, like you guys were talking about, the water. Make sure you drink lots of food. And also your energy, you know, you eat well, you know, take nice, good, wholesome food on your trips. Make sure you got good patkos. You know, we like a patkos, so that seems to go before the fishing tackle is a patko. So make sure the patkos is all wholesome and healthy stuff.
Mm.
That will keep you going for the day or the weekend.
I think one program, inshallah, we must give the listeners an idea of what sort of basket to pack when they're going on a fishing trip.
You mean you call up a dedication to podcast program?
Yeah, the ladies wait for the men to actually tell them what to make. They always say it's so much easier when they know what to do, you know.
That's it. As far as the fishing is concerned, you know, all over the guys are catching. It's not like because of the heat or because of the water levels, fishing will die. Like I say, it's probably a lot easier now to catch them. And we've had some very good reports coming, particularly on the Vaal River system, nice big yellowfish coming out. We dedicate this program to one of our esteemed listeners and supporters in a shop. We did post the photos on our Facebook page, is brother Nazim Patel, who caught a beautiful largemouth yellowfish on earthworm sitting in a stream. And the fight that it gave him was obviously, it's the best he's ever had. And caught on light tackle, you know, we always refer to fishing with light tackle for yellows in a stream. So a nice 8.5 foot type rod with nice light line and a smallish reel. And he landed a 7.9 kilo largemouth yellow, and that's his biggest yellow, I think, to date. And besides that, they did catch other fish on the weekend, so well done to Nazim. And it was a very, very good fish.
Where about did he catch this fish,
Kumar? I'm not exactly sure on the spot, but currently any spot, I think, on the Vaal, even the fly fishermen, the reports that are coming are good. So it's such a huge piece of water, you know. Just choose a nice, suitable destination. Make sure it's comfortable for you and or if you're taking the family. You know, nice trees close to the water. Most of the area's got nice trees in there so that you can relax in the shade in it as well. And so it's a huge piece of water to fish. You just got to decide how far you want to travel, basically.
We're just looking at that Facebook post now.
Gee.
And, that's a monster fish, eh?
Gee.
MashaAllah, well done, Nazim.
And also, you'll see on the same page, one of our clients, you know, travel a lot. He does lots of exotic destinations, and he's been to Bolivia, where they catch a golden dorado.
Yes.
It's fished in a river, and funny enough, you know, they grow up to 40 pounds.
Right.
But he says they catch them very shallow. You're catching them in like 2 or 3 foot of water. And he particularly targeted them on a fly rod. They fish about a 10-weight fly rod. And you'll see on the Facebook page as well, you know, it's beautiful fish. And the color of that fish is
amazing.
You know, only now when you see the different colors and shapes of fish that all over you appreciate and you realize how great Allah is and how He creates things in different forms and shapes and colors. And it's totally unique, totally unique.
But in terms of the heat, does this not affect your fishing? I'm talking, you know, overall, whatever the species may be.
Like I say, you just have to adapt and change. You know, if you Generally, fish like cooler water. So if you're in a dam where the water temperature is a bit higher, then you obviously just look for cooler waters and deeper waters. What you'll find now is a lot of fish don't like to be in shallow waters unless they're feeding. So what you'd want to do is look for deeper pools. If you're fishing river systems or in a dam, look for nice deep drop-offs where you'll find those fish staging in cool water. And then only they'll come up to feed probably two or three times a day. And if you're in the shallows, then you're definitely going to catch, because when they do come up in the shallows, they're there to feed. They're not there to play around. Yeah.
So the basically what the guys got to do is time themselves exactly when they're doing fishing. Obviously, I think also good advice would be that when it's really hot, you know, that you shouldn't really be exposed to that amount of sunlight. And the fish mainly bite in the mornings and in the evenings.
Yeah, the ideal thing to do, look, like we said, you know, if you're fishing off the side, you've got trees or you're going to have your umbrellas or gazebos. But when you're fishing on a boat, you know, try and start early nowadays. You know, fajr is quite early. The earliest fajr you can make is probably just past, I think, 4 o'clock,
yeah.
Maybe 4, 10 past 4, there around. So if you want to get a good day's fishing, you want to start as early as possible. You know, try and make a very early fajr and then get onto the water immediately. And then probably I would say fish around about 10, 11 ish. And then what we did, I mean, two, three weeks ago when we were, I think it's 2 weeks ago when we were at the work, you know, what we did is come off nicely, you relax, find a nice, in the middle of nowhere, you know, we didn't go back to the launch area. We just found a place where there was a bit of trees and shade, got off, you know, made our Zohar Namaz and then found a place where we could just enjoy a bit of that Patko story. So that's what you want to do, is just get off the water, take a breather, relax a little, refresh a bit, and then run about 3-4-ish, get back on the water and start fishing again.
Lukman, Mia, always a pleasure talking to you. I think I'm tempted now to ask listeners, what's your favorite patkos? Let's see, lines are open.
Leave it to you and see what your response is.
What's your favorite patkos, Lukman?
You know, I like food too much, so I think the list is too big.
That was Lukman Mia from Solis English Corner. Always a pleasure talking to Lukman. Always very, very informative, alhamdulillah. We'll catch up with Lukman, inshallah, next week.
Lukman, any plans for yourself?
Not this weekend, inshallah. This weekend we're just heading off to the game farm just to do a check the farm and see how things are going. But one small announcement. In this weekend at our Rustenburg shop, we've got the guys from Supercars, Kalk van Breda, and the guy from Andre, from the popular, very popular TV show on fishing called Hier gaan ons alweer. So all the people that are in the Rustenburg area or surrounding areas want to meet those guys. They'll be at the shop, and some very nice specials also in the shop, in-store specials on cups, cups, nooties, millies, mini bombs, rods, reels, everything. So there's a nice big promotion happening. So if all the brothers in the area are keen to meet, you know, one of the nice things with meeting guys like Scouts and from Supercast is they're competitive and tournament fishermen. So, and they're not shy, and they don't, they're not afraid to share the information. So if you want to know any specific tips or tricks or techniques or whatever that they use that make them do so well when they're fishing, it's an ideal opportunity to go in and chat to them and just get first-hand information on how and where and what they do. Because they consistently catch big fish. Whenever you look at the magazine or you check on their Facebook pages, and that you'll see the pictures they post. I think one of them got not long ago, I think it's close to like a 21-kilo cup. So like that, you know, they consistently do well. And if you want the information, Andre from Europe, Hanon Salvier, just got back from a fishing trip to Angola. So also, if you want to go in and just chat and see what his experiences were and whatever. So it's a good opportunity for the people of the Northwest if they wanted to go in today and chat to the people.
He's a good fisherman, with Andre. And notice one or two things about him is that it's quite simple and straightforward, his techniques. It's nothing like, you know, so difficult to relate to. It's something that you can relate to on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
Whether it's with his carp fishing, his bass fishing, whatever it may be. I actually saw a few of his programs. Very straightforward, very basic, and things that you can actually relate to, Rukma.
Gee, it is, and that's why we say if you want to go in, please feel free to go in. It's at the Rustenburg shop, so anybody is welcome.
Bring him here to Boysons also.
Gee?
Bring him this side and we can also go visit.
Inshallah, we were thinking of something, but let's see if we can come right now.
Inshallah.
Okay. Assalamu
alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
It's a big character, Luqman, to run away fast.
Yeah. So, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Screaming Reels on Radio Islam. The time now is 34 minutes past 8. With me in the studio, alhamdulillah, I have got Mulana Sajjad Timon. You normally say that about me, eh?
Yeah.
So I'll say that about you today.
Exactly.
Focus today, alhamdulillah, has been on water and, saving water. And we've just spoken to Luqman from Swally's Angler's Corner. And we've decided to ask a question to our listeners. Let's see if you are awake this morning. Just for fun, tell us, what's your favorite podcast? Rana, what's your favorite podcast?
That is them.
Like if you're traveling, let's just say if you're traveling, open it up so that even if it's not anglers, because podcast is podcast. And you know the thing about podcast is people have lost, you know, that sense of podcast, because I mean nowadays you go on a journey and there's a lot of halal places everywhere. So
halal children's course.
The ladies don't even prep podcast.
Yeah, we'll just.
I don't know if my wife's listening to the program,
we'll get something there. We'll just get something on the road.
My favorite podcast is crumb steak and roti.
Crumb steak and roti.
Yeah, and a little bit of chutney on the side. Right. So the lines are open. The number to dial is 011-854-1548.
Yeah.
I learned it off by heart now, finally. 011-854-1548. Give us a call, inshallah. I want to hear what your part. Is it boiled eggs? Is it samosas? Is it pies? Let's hear.
There's plenty of things out there that guys would actually want to have.
Yeah. You're not telling me what your part. are you shy? Is it like something weird?
No.
Chicken feet or something?
I'm actually just trying to think about it. I'm honestly trying to think now what would be my favorite podcast. I know when we're out on the waters in general, I like to have, it just also depends on the day.
Mm.
You know, you enjoy your meal there on the water.
Right.
Or whatever it may be. But I like to have things that are easy to have.
Right.
So while you're fishing, especially if the fishing is good, just a quick sandwich to have, or samosa, or something like that. And in the car also, if I'm driving, I don't know for what reason, but I'm like I said on the boat also. Although you would like to have your meal,
yeah,
you know, like how you said with steak and things like that. But I'm just wondering if it's going to be too messy, whether it's in the car or on a boat, then I rather don't have it at all.
So something dry.
So I would rather have like you're saying a samosa or a pie or something where you just dip a little bit of chutney or whatever and you're carrying on with your life.
Yeah.
Nothing messy about it. But the moment things become a bit messy, then so it's not the meal itself.
It's a convenience.
Yeah, it's a convenience of the whole thing. Let's see, we got two callers on the line. Let's go to the callers. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. I just want to make a suggestion that all the fishermen must go out to make their 2 rakat namaz for the rain. And the patkos is perawari bread, musa, crepes, baked beans, and meat, of course.
Salam alaikum.
Very, very good advice.
Yeah, the first part, yeah, definitely.
Like we were talking about the rain being so scarce, very, very good suggestion, inshallah. Let us all go out and perform the 2 rakats.
Also, with that istighfar, very important to seek forgiveness.
Definitely.
Seek forgiveness. And then the Apa Mashallah speaks about the
Berawari bread.
Berawari bread. We forgot about that one. Eh?
Yeah, Berawari bread is a convenient chow.
That's like original, you know?
Yeah, it's a convenient chow.
That like goes without saying.
Did you ever eat this other combination with the...
Or the polony.
With the polony or the chicken or something, and they plant that thing together and they fry it. It's very, very good, actually. Remind you of Ramadan, eh?
Yeah. Man, I'm starting to think of all the shows. I'm getting hungry.
We got coming home
for breakfast, we're going to do ampere.
You see that, no? We're talking about traditional home-cooked food, yeah.
So you're going home from here straight, eh? Let's go to the caller on the... Okay, I think we lost that caller.
I think they also wanted to say Belawari bread, baby.
Maybe they also want to say better. But we'll leave the lines open. In the meantime, Osama is going to get a hold of Brother Ashraf for us. And I know we got one more ad break still for you, Osama. Two more still. But they're not playing ads between 6 and 8 here. Waiting all for the fishing program.
Looks like it. Maybe we should go for an ad break now. Well, and then when we come back, we'll talk to Ashraf. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
PNC Fabric and Bridal Center has a winning combination of luxurious and sophisticated fabrics. Let us transport you in style with our luxurious fabrics. Our haberdashery department has the latest accessories. Visit our bridal department for the evening wear fabrics from the masters of design. Unique and individually styled beaded pure silks and tulles from the most talented creators of fashion. 5 Pelican Avenue, Lanesia, 011-852-4910. PNC, usually unusual fabrics.
Altohidi's Lonic Center is refurbishing at Waylives Farm, Masjid and Madrasa. Kindly assist in this project to uplift this community. Donations can be made to Altohid Islamic Center. Standard Bank, branch code 015-137, account number 202-572870, or visit us at Trade Route Mall, number L31, next to Celsi, or at our head office, 31 Protea Avenue. Please note we also accept Zakah, Sadaqah, Lila, and all other donations. We're also registered for Section 18A. For more info, please call 011-854-9510.
The world sure has changed. Everything nowadays seems to be new and improved. Products are updated before they're old enough to be old. Then you get the classics that keep getting it right time after time. Because nothing beats an original. Like Sunshine D Margarine and Spreads. High in vitamin D, Sunshine D has been trusted by generations of families in South Africa to deliver that smooth, great taste to celebrate those special occasions, big and small. Now who would want to change that?
Anytime is Shalela time with Sunshine D.
It's time for Tafelberg Furnishes 52nd Birthday Carnival, and they invite you to share in a feast of low prices with many special offers. Everyone is a winner with lucky draws and a chance to spin the wheel, where you could win money back up to 5,000 Rand. Seeing is believing. You simply cannot miss out on their unbelievable birthday carnival, now on at Alberton and Roodepoort branches. End Sunday, 8 November. Tafelberg Furnishes, always the best deal guaranteed. T's and C's apply. Visit tafelberg.co.za.
Still using rusty old wheelbarrows? No, no, no. Get a Trojan trolley from Trojan Trolleys and Casters. It's powerful, it's strong, it's reliable. Trojan Trolleys and Casters, manufacturers and importers of trolleys, casters, wheels, ladders and more. Now boasting an all-new range of products, bringing you the best deals for 30 years. We deliver nationwide. Visit trojantrolleys.co.za or call 011-334-2590. Trojan Trolleys and Casters. We keep Africa rolling.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International. It is the Screaming Reels program, and I really waited for the podcast calls. I think maybe we leave it as SMS again. They're too shy today.
I don't think anybody has podcast anymore, maybe.
You're feeling, yeah. I'm just feeling more outsold than anybody
else. Yeah, because they go out and they just buy.
Well, what we'll do is we'll throw the SMS our number out next week, rather, and they can send us some SMSs.
Yeah.
You know, they won't feel so shy then. Telling us what they're chowing,
unless
what
they're clever, maybe they're waiting for us to say whoever mentions the best podcast will win a podcast.
No. Yeah. Yeah, we're not giving you nothing now. You can send us podcasts if you want to this time. We're not giving podcasts to nobody this time around. Okay, I think we've got Brother Ashraf Sayed, who is with us on the line. I received his number in the week from one of the honorary rangers as well.
Right.
And I thought that we generally have these towards the end of our program. We speak to Brother Farooq Hassan on a regular basis with regard to the park and things like that. And I was told that Brother Ashraf has a wonderful and a unique profile traveling Tanzania, Mozambique and many other countries. And apparently he's one of the first honorary rangers in the country. And thereafter, it then followed on from there. And when I say first honorary rangers, then I mean Indian Muslim honorary rangers in the country. And then thereafter, then of course, then it followed on. So we will be speaking to Brother Ashraf, perhaps get some history on his life and how he took this route here. and for youngsters out there that perhaps share the same interests or go down the same route, how do they go about and what do they do in terms of going about and finding out? So, okay, I think just before we've got Brother Ishaf already on the line with us, but before that, Usama indicating that we've got a... Okay. All right, we've got Brother Ishaf saying with us on the line. Brother Ishaf, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Brother Ishaf, welcome to our program. I know our program is Screaming Reels, which is focused a lot on fishing, but alhamdulillah, we do have, you know, quite a bit of information that comes from the wild, and we regularly speak to Farooq Hassan, who's one of the honorary rangers here in the south. And like Mulana just mentioned in the introduction, you know, that you have a long history with the honorary rangers. Tell us a little bit about when it all started for you and what prompted you to get into it.
See, there's a lot of opportunity, man. You see, the thing is, I grew up in Lens, and my late father was very instrumental in taking us to the park from a young age. So as I grew in baby stages into my adult life, we used to go quite often. And from an early age, I realized that I want to get involved in a volunteer basis with the Kruger. So at that point, when I joined, I was living away from Lens. I was living in the north. I joined a region called Bushveld on the ranges, and I spent a few years there, and I returned to Lens or Joburg, and that's when I transferred my membership to the Johannesburg region. That was in 2001, and then we started working on a plan of getting, you know, our local guys into volunteer conservation. It was about 2005, 6 thereabouts, and that was when I was able to, with some close friends and family, were able to get the Johannesburg South region off the ground. So that's really, you know, the background. I actually owe it all to my late father for introducing me to the bush and, you know, for creating that passion and creating that environment. And as I got older, I realized that this is what I want to bring back to my community. So that's what I did.
Tell us, you mentioned a little bit about bushcraft. Is that something that you guys were sort of involved in terms of learning? What I want to get at here is that when you guys go out in the bush, you take minimal things, or is it like the full gear that you guys go out with?
look, in terms of activities that we do, because I'm also a guide for the park, we do different types of activities where you can take minimal things, or you could also do like backpack trails, for example, where you carry everything, your own tents and your own food. You drink water from the river. If it's not flowing, you must know where to take it, and you must know how to purify the water. And, you know, we through my involvement with the bush, I've learned a lot of bushcraft through like the Shangaan guys, for example, and even some of the other guys. And then I've also, you know, taught myself a lot of stuff. So we're able to take people back to their basics for these activities. So you can really go with very little and gain a lot in terms of knowledge and experience. And you know, so it just depends what people are looking for. You can offer them anything either way.
Farooq, you've had a long line of experience in terms of, I mean, Ashraf, sorry, I keep saying Farooq, Mark. Ashraf, you've had a long experience in this game. Tell us some of the highlights that you've seen in your career, you know, especially with regards to the wild.
There's been a lot of stuff. I mean, in terms of encounters with wild animals, there's been a lot, you know, black rhino charge, elephants, lion. But I think for me, one of the most rewarding things for me is to see how people change in the bush. You must understand that, you know, especially given the history of our country, it's an uncommon thing for guests, wherever they come from, mostly locals, to see an Indian guy and a Muslim guy in a uniform. And initially, you know, the people, like, it still happens, people are quite taken aback by it. But what's rewarding for me is over the days that you spend with them in the bush, and experiences you have and the knowledge that you're transferring, you see people change. And that for me is really rewarding. It's very important that we change perceptions, and the bush does all the work. I'm just there to facilitate it. But the people, they get to know your personality, they get to know about your religion, and you'd be surprised. People, you find in the end that you're not much different from everybody else. So I think that aspect that the bush brings out is people, you even just see something like that in the city, for example, you know, if you're walking in sentence or something, I mean, the bush has this ability to draw the goodness out of people, which is addictive for me, and that's what I love doing, or why I love doing it. But there's been lots of other, you know, experiences with wild animals, and, you know, the idea is we're not there to compromise people's lives, and we're there to take them, to enjoy and to respect nature. And that, you know, the lesson really is that these are precious places that we go to kill wildness here is not by becoming more of a rarity and population pressures on outside of the parks, etc. And you'll see it in East Africa and all over. There needs to be some emphasis on respect and, you know, the protection of these wilderness areas for future generations. So that's what it's about for me.
Ashraf, we've heard that you've been through Zambia, Tanzania, Kenya, Mozambique, all of these places. Just perhaps your experience in those countries?
Yeah, I had a dream when I was quite young. I said, you know, one day I want to own a Land Rover, and I want to drive in Africa and see the big game park. That was at the age of 7. So Shukar, you know, after hard work and saving up and planning, I got my own little Land Rover, and I still got it standing collecting dust. And I took unpaid leave and I went. I told my boss, look, I need to go away. Either I'm gonna quit or he's gonna give me unpaid. So he said, no, take your time. And I went, and I traveled through Botswana, Zambia, Malawi, Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, Rwanda, Mozambique. You know, just really fascinating. It was tough. I spent about 100 days out there on my own, camping and dealing with breakdowns on my own. And I met some amazing people. I met lots of Muslim people out there in Malawi, Tanzania. People took me to their homes when I had no places to stay. I mean, it was an unbelievable experience.
Professor, just before you leave us and go for today, we'll perhaps catch up again, inshallah, some other time, some interesting aspects here. I know, of course, in the time that we have, we're not going to even do a very small portion. We're not going to appreciate your services to the community and to the park. But just before that, for those youngsters that are looking forward to going to the same field and to the same line, what sort of advice would you give them?
For me, I think the attitude has got to be right. You know, if you've got the right attitude, and you know, you have the yakin, and you have your belief in faith in Almighty, you can do anything. And I think it really starts with the passion. If you love something, and if you believe you can make it work, if you have that conviction, you will do. So, you know, even if my son one day tells me I want to do nature conservation, I'll never stop him. I think our parents need to also be cognizant of that. That at the end of the day, our children's lives are the lives they're going to lead, and it won't be our lives they'll be leading. We need to allow them to do what they want to do. And you know, the bush and the wild and conservation, it's such a rewarding industry or career path to follow. So my best advice is just follow your heart and get the attitude right. If your attitude is right, you have the yakin behind that, you will achieve anything. But Allah is nothing is impossible. That's basically my best advice I can give you.
JazakAllah so much for that, brother. It's like Moana said, there's just such a lot of, from what I'm listening, I'm very, very impressed in terms of what you have done. Many people only dream of that type of stuff. We hope, inshallah, to speak to you in the near future. Unfortunately, due to time, we're not going to be able to take that further. But it was a real pleasure talking to you, inshallah, and we'll chat to you sometime later in the future, inshallah.
JazakAllah for the opportunity.
JazakAllah. This is brother Ashraf, one of the founding members of Honorary Rangers in the Joburg South region, And I think the first Muslim Indian guide, like you said, and what an impact it has on people.
Definitely.
So many, you know, what I was trying to get out of him, and I asked him the question in terms of when you go out, you know, I mean, what sort of things have you seen? And his take on it was the change that he sees in the people. So, you know, that sums it all up.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And like you say, the impact it has, and for future.
Yes.
The future, you know, for us to get more involved in this line and to take up this sort of a thing better, to understand the nature, Qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something very, very interesting. And now, Osama indicated that, okay, we lost that caller, we had probably another Patkos caller there, we lost the Patkos caller, you see, we lost our channel. Osama, your promos, how long did you got to play? Now you're shouting us, fighting with us there? Okay, so we got to wrap up. Before that, Adil, any plans for the weekend?
Today, inshallah, I'll be attending a youth completion of my student. Mashallah. And a keen fisherman, mashallah, Yusuf Desai.
Mashallah.
Allah Ta'ala give him lots of barakat and bless his family, mashallah, his father, his mother and him. With all the reward, so I'll be going there tonight.
Now you knew I was coming, you knew I had the invitation as that was on purpose, now you said, now you got, now you see.
I'll hook it up for you, you can come join me.
No, I don't join you. I got invitation somewhere else. I wanted to come by your house.
No,
or is it going to somebody else's house?
Yeah, I don't know. You came to somebody else's house now. Inshallah, you
I'm
must come.
Coming.
All right. So, and then maybe tomorrow, inshallah, you never know.
We're unstuck again, another wedding again.
It's a wedding season now. We won't be able to fish anymore.
I think now when they come with the invite, now you must just check the date. Then understand the sort of not signing. Not accepting the dawahs.
I was actually speaking to Uncle Idris. I told him, put up a wedding venue there at the
farm.
Then you'll see how happy
they will be. You'll accept every invitation.
You go with your fishing rod for the nikah, for the wedding, the chow, and then you go and sit by the river and fish a little bit.
So we'll catch up with you next week and you'll tell us where you've been, inshallah, this Sunday.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mawlana Sajjatimul, and to all our wonderful listeners.